We are privileged now to welcome Lacey to the program. Her maiden start here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Haven't had a chance to visit with Lacey yet, but really appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, they are doing everything in their power to keep you from winning one of these three races today, including trying to derail you when your rental car was taken out yesterday on the backside, right?
Yes, yeah.
Is it a conspiracy? Are they trying to, they know you're good, right?
I don't know. I guess they had to give me something to complain about while I've been down here. So hopefully that's it. Hopefully that's the extent of it.
Wow. Mitt, how's the rental car?
It's pretty damaged.
It didn't dampen your spirits, though. You're excited. You're all smiles. You're ready to roll. Congratulations on being here with three horses.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a great feeling.
You were telling me before you came on the air that you won your very first race a couple of days before your 17th birthday. We weren't even 17 years old yet.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that, 07?
Yes, 07. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So what's it like being here on the big stage like this?
I want to say that it's overwhelming, but it hasn't been so far. My horses are doing a great job of making me feel like we did the right thing by coming here. And that was the main goal after we ran them all on the preview day in Laurel, as we said. If they got beat or if they ran well and were second or third, we'd come. They all had to win. They had to win to get in it down here. And so they've traveled well. They've been training really well down here. So it's keeping me at ease.
Your sister posted a video on Twitter, and she said it was kind of freaking her out interviewing you. How was that for you?
Well, I complained because I think it was when John Jones won the Mr. Diz at Laurel, his first start with us, and Gabby was, where was she? Maybe Breeders' Cup? No, it was before Breeders' Cup. She was out of town somewhere, and we had always kind of hoped leading up that she does all the post-race interviews at Laurel, and I said it was kind of disappointing that I got Stan and I didn't get my first interview done by my sister. I thought it was kind of cool, so I didn't mean to make Stan feel too bad, but so we finally got our interview together.
Well, Maggie Morley had to interview her husband after he won a Grade One at Saratoga. And
I think she had more tears than he did.
Yeah, it was pretty emotional, so it was really cool, but I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Talking with Lacey Gaudette, who sends out three horses on today's Claiming Crown program, the first of which is, and correct me if I get the name wrong, Marabia? Marabia? What is it?
We actually go through three different pronunciations every time we reference her. So it's Marbe, Marabe, Marabia. We haven't found the correct way. And usually I leave it to Dave Rodman when he makes a call, because he usually calls names pretty correct. I think he used two different pronunciations in that call. So it was no help again.
He's got himself covered either way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about Marabia, Marabia, Marbea. Tell me a little bit about this particular four-year-old filly who goes post-war, by the way, in the ninth race, which is the Claiming Crown Tierra.
She's been a very nice filly since she's come in the barn. She's very professional. Like I said, she's not the sweetest filly to be around. She's your typical mare, but she trains great. She always has, and she's really fit into the program. And we had looked for her to run a big race when we ran her on Claiming Crown preview day. It was unfortunate that we didn't get to run her before that, but everything worked out well, and she did run a heck of a race that day, and we were kind of looking at that from her.
You know, you mentioned program, and that's something that we hear a lot when you talk about leading trainer Todd Pletcher. Hey, you got to go through Todd's program with these horses. Is there a specific program that you have, a specific approach to training horses that's kind of just working for you right now?
Honestly, we take most horses as individuals. You do have a kind of a plan that seems to work as far as trying to get a horse fit and happy. And you know, everybody has a different feed program, supplement program, training program, and we like to adapt to each horse. Like I said, she's a funny little filly. She's every time you go up to her, I mean, she's almost taken heads off of three people here in the shed row because she's just so nasty. But she never tries to bite, but she will scare you. And but she goes up to the racetrack. She stands there for 10 minutes, even here. You know, the first day she was a little nervous, and she got to the racetrack. She stood. She watched everybody train. And then she kind of turned off when she was ready to go, and she just goes on and does her own thing. And we really just kind of let them settle in and do that. And it's worked for her.
That's kind of the way I think fillies are best. When you, I always say fillies are like women. You can't make them do anything.
Exactly.
You have to let them do it.
Women don't listen either. So
that's exactly right. And you being a woman, you're probably, you know, more in tune with that. But it takes a lot of men that train horses a long time to understand the fact that they just have to let it go and let the girls be the girls.
Yep, exactly.
And
exactly.
Those mean fillies, there's nothing beats them really. They're really good when they're tough like that.
Very tough. Hard-knocking fillies, and she definitely has that that a winning attitude that she doesn't want to get beat, and she has every time she's come into the barn, and since we started breezing her, and you can tell when she goes, she's all, like I said, she's all business. She's a very professional filly.
You come back in the very next race, the 10th race, the Claiming Crown Jewel with John Jones, who is a horse that puts a 4-race winning streak on the line, actually has not lost since moving into your care. His first win, believe it or not, was at 43-1 in a stakes race on the grass, the first start that he made for you. What's making this horse so good? What's the reason for the turnaround?
Again, a program. I can't really contribute anything to it other than he is a very, very happy horse right now. He, you know, we kind of just let him, we got him in there. We gave him a few, two easy weeks and stuff, and then just started going on with him. And he's another one. He goes up to the racetrack and he stands, and he will stand as long as he wants. And when he's ready to go, you know, he starts. Even my exercise rider from back home, who usually gets on him every day, I credit him mostly to keeping this horse very happy and under control, because he's a very tough horse. And unfortunately, he couldn't travel. So John Jones has been very respectful to me down here trying to ride him. And but he trains like a monster. And he trained well. And you love to get horses into your program off the claim and say that you think that they're doing well, and you never do until they run. And that's why I said that was the goal when we claimed him, to run him back in that Maryland bred stake, try to get him back on the grass with his pedigree. We thought we liked that. Not that he would necessarily like the 3/4, but we thought it would be a light spot. We thought we would be maybe lucky if we were second or third to Ben's Cat. Honestly, you know, and he was just training so well. And I told the owner and his racing manager the morning of, I said, it's hard for a trainer to say, I really like this horse today, and he's 40-1, but let's give it a shot. And they were game for it. They also agreed to try and get him back on the grass. And when he won, I didn't even realize that I had won my first stakes race, that John Jones had won. I just said, holy smokes, we just beat Ben's Cat. And it kind of felt like Smarty Jones getting beat in the Belmont. You know, it's kind of like, you don't want to be the one to do it, but I'm not going to complain about it too much.
Yeah, how long did it take you to get over that feeling?
When he came to the winner's circle.
That was it. She didn't care about beating Ben's Cat at that point.
Yeah, well, it changes everything. But how is it now? Like, you're on such a great roll, and for a long time, you had a few horses and just, you know, like most young trainers struggled and all that, but now you're like rolling. Everything you touch is turning to gold, and you're really cruising. I think it's great. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel like the work's all worth it?
It does. It feels like hard work pays off. And you know, my mom and I, one thing that my dad always did was that my parents always had their own horses. And I always thought that was a great thing for clients, because if your trainer is willing to invest their own money, it has to help you think that they're going to be a little more honest and try just as hard if they're invested in the game as well. And my mom and I did kind of our own. We worked together all the time after my dad retired. But I'd claim a horse that I liked, and my mom would claim a horse that she'd like, and sometimes we'd differ in opinions and we'd do our own thing with each of our horses. And at the beginning of the year, my mom actually had a better percentage than I did, and her horses were running better. And I said, you know, you keep the shed row going. I'm galloping all these horses. Let's combine this. And if you want it to be in your name as trainer or my name, either one, but let's do one and do the same job. And, you know, we decided to put them all in my name, and we kept doing the same thing, invested a little bit more money, reached out a little bit more to clients, and we became very aggressive, and it's paid off. And yes, it's the same, like I said, it's the same job we've done for years, but just putting a plan together and focusing to, you know, when my dad retired, it was it took a long time to try and figure out if two women could really do well in this game. It's still a very male dominant game, and it is tough for two women. And we said, this is going to be our year of make or break. And let's really, you know, put this to the test and try our hardest to do well. And it sure has paid off.
That's great. You know, my father had a woman trainer in the 50s, which was unheard of. She was the only woman to have stalls at Santa Anita. So my family has a long history of women trainers.
Good.
But it's so great to see you guys doing good. And that's very interesting. I had no idea what you did. You actually made it more like a business instead of like the family operation.
Exactly. And when you work with family, you clash heads all the time. And we just came together and we said, you know, we do. We need to make this more of a, it's not, you're my mom and I'm your daughter. We're going to make this a business agreement and an arrangement and go from there and see what the best way to do it is business-wise and professionally. And it has paid off.
Just ask Safi Joseph about family.
Yeah. Works very closely with his dad.
With his dad. His dad used to be a trainer, and they're always button heads. Yeah. It's a miracle they can eat dinner together sometimes.
I mean, you ask everybody in this game that works with family, and it's not easy. And it's, you know, and a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of people do think that if your father was started the business before you and was fortunate enough to do well, that it makes it a little bit easier. And by no means is it. My dad was very tough on me, and I was just joking around with somebody yesterday. And when I came to Florida, my first job when I was 18, I came down here to Helen Pitts because my dad said, go work for other people. See what it's like to where you're not going to tell them, you can't tell them no, or you're not going to have a job, you know?
Right.
And so I did, I learned a lot when he kind of, I don't really want to say he necessarily kicked me out, but he pushed me quite early to go.
Well, a total of 62 winners to your credit, Lacey. By the way, Lacey Gaudette, our special guest here on the Equine Forum on HRN, 28 of those 62 have come here in 2016. It is by far the best year of your career, and things, as Jude said, really clicking right now. The final horse you're going to saddle is in the Claiming Crown Emerald, the last race of the afternoon. Music Critic, who is a 6-year-old gelded son of Unbridled Song, comes in on a 2-race winning streak. Tell me a little bit about Music Critic.
He's been one of my favorite horses in the barn since he came in the spring. And we, you know, looking on his form when he initially came in, I said, man, this horse is bred for the grass. And he had one start prior to it. But he took to the poly track well, the artificial. And so we ran him a few times. I said, you know what, he is a little bit older. It might be a little bit nicer on him if we can get him on the grass. So we tried it, and he did get beat in his first start on it, but he ran a great race. He only got beat 3/4 of a length. It was a very tough field. And I said, okay, we'll try and keep him on this. And I think he did. It rained off when he won. Yeah.
Yep.
And that was actually even before we got to try him on it. And so when he came back on the grass, he ran well. And the two other then in Maryland was a little tough for him, so we ran him back for the 15 where he was competitive before. But he came out after he won, again, boost his confidence, and he came out of the race so well. And we wheeled him back in 9 days into that Claiming Crown preview race, and I said, but he's just doing so well. We'll run him, and we're running out of grass in Maryland, and it wasn't even really a goal to go for the win and you're in. It was, let's see if we can get lucky and win, and if not, you know, turf is almost over, we'll get him back on the dirt when that rolls around. But he ran a heck of a race that day, and he ran so game, and he ran his eyeballs out, and we were very, very proud of him.
Yeah, you should be very proud of him. Lacey Gaudette here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You know, yesterday when you and I talked and I asked you about coming on the program, one question I asked you was, with the weather being so different in Maryland this time of year and then coming down to a warmer climate here in South Florida, how challenging can that be for the horses, and does it affect them? And one thing you mentioned, it's not uncommon in horse racing, but one thing you mentioned is that you do a lot of feeding and you feed with beer, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried rum?
No. do they
Jude
do
and
that?
I find it works very well when we ship south, by the way.
I don't have that in the barn, guys, so don't come looking for that. There may be some Guinness, but...
I'm just saying it might help. I've never trained a horse, but just something to keep in mind. Lacey, we appreciate all the time. All of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, Wear What You Love, at embracetherace.com. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon. Good luck today.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much, guys.